There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
How about now? Thanks, folks, for joining us today. Pastor Mike with you again on WCN TV. Special guest today, a good friend of mine that has really blessed me individually and the ministries that Kathy and I, my wife Kathy and I, are involved in. Kevin Gallagher, he's the CEO of Truth Be Told Radio Network, White Stones, and we're going to talk about all of these efforts that Kevin spearheads, White Stones Streaming Network, and the latest. And let me just introduce Kevin. First of all, thanks for joining us today, Kevin.
Hey, no problem. It's good to see you again, Dr. Mike.
Good to see you, brother. And so your latest effort, in addition to Truth Be Told Radio Network, White Streams Streaming Network, is now, please refresh my memory.
We got three radio networks. Truth Be Told Radio Network, which is our 24-hour-a-day Christian talk network. We have White Stones Streaming Network, which is goes back to Revelation 2:17. That's where the White Stones comes from. And that is for Christian musicians who want to get their music out worldwide. And then our latest effort, going back just a few precious months ago, is Last Day's Word Radio. And that is the Bible being read 24 hours a day. We have an app that you can download for the Android phone, for Apple TV. Android TV just got added a few days ago. And so there's a lot of ways that you can get the ability to listen to those. All three stations are in one app, and gotten a really great response.
Yeah. I have never seen one man create so much content and create platforms where other Christian content can be accumulated and then offered for free. There's an opportunity to support Kevin's work, but Kevin, I don't know how you do it, brother.
I don't know how either. I do work. I joke around, but I think I do the work. I figured it out one day, either four or five people. So,
and that's not an exaggeration either.
No, it's not. Yeah. It really isn't. I do everything, from the social media, all of the programming of the network, setting them up, educating new hosts how to do their shows, coaching them, everything you can think of, I do, from the training to bill collect. Well, the wife does bill collecting, but I do, you know, everything you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into some conversation, Kevin, because you stay up to speed on everything that's going on. And
I try.
It's getting harder, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, it was easier with Joe Biden in office because nothing would happen for 6 months. But now, if you don't pay attention to what's going on for about 15 or 20 minutes, you're going to have to do a really major refresh, and because everything's changed.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some current events. They had another round of meetings. I think this one was in Switzerland that just concluded. Between the United States and Iran. If you just read the headlines, it sounds like things went well and they're making progress.
Yeah.
And, but you know, there's more than meets the eye. The headlines are, can be deceptive. What's your take on that, Kevin? What is this going in the right direction, or is the administration just?
I don't really listen. I know in your radio show that we play on Truth Be Told Radio Network Fridays at 3, there's a great quote you have in there from George Carlin. And it's interesting, and I'll just diverse for 1 second, and that is, I remember I had the honor of seeing him live in person performing many years ago, but then later in his life he was doing his stand-up. But what I think most people missed at that time is that he wasn't really doing stand-up, and the clip that you have there, it's not really supposed to be funny. It's really a very honest assessment of where we are as a world, never mind the country. And so when you look at how things really work, I always break things down to a very simple thing. I call it the God principle. And if you want to understand politics, especially at a national or international level, you got to look at the God principle and put it through that filter. You have the G is gold, the O is oil, and the D is drugs. And if you understand that and you're able to put that through that filter, a lot of things you can fine tune and get the focus on real quick, very easily. And even if you're not keeping up with the news, you'll understand what the motivations are. And in this case, when Trump went to Davos, you have to understand, I look at it, I know the news media in this country, news is actually not a word, Dr. Mike. It's an acronym. It stands for North, East, West, and South. It's the direction they want the propaganda to take your mind in, because they want to control the way you're thinking, because everything is about what's going on up here between your two ears. And if they can control that, they can control you, and they can control perception. Perception, in many times, when you're looking at politics, when I ran a political party and everything, I learned very quickly, perception is everything. Perception becomes reality. And if you're able to manage that perception, you're the one that's able to understand and make people come to a conclusion that you want them to come to. And you can either be honest about it or very dishonest about it. Most of what we see is very dishonest. And what you get from the news media about what actually happened, which I learned a long time ago when I was running a political party at the local level, is that what people thought was happening and what I knew was happening are two completely different things. Yeah. So we look at what was going on there, and we know that the media has a axe to grind, that they're not working just for themselves, they're working for the people who employ them. And those people and such aren't necessarily going to be on the same page as, say, you know, President Trump. And so I know things are going much better for him than the media lets on, but there's always going to be things, just speaking for myself, I find a little bit confusing at times, until I can actually go out and do some searching and get a little bit more information, and then I can go to the eureka moment and go, aha, now I understand. I can see what's going on. I understand why certain chess moves are being made.
Yeah. Would you consider the ongoing continued buildup to be a chess move, or is it more than just saber rattling?
Daddy just came home, found the kids all playing, doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And daddy pays for everything. And this is the thing we're finding out. It shocked me how much the United States taxpayer is actually paying for everything. And he said the gig's up, and he gave them a spanking, and he gave them a little dose of reality. And the kids, the spoiled kids, don't like the fact that now daddy's home and they got to straighten up their act.
Yeah. So what's your best qualified thought on strike Iran or not?
If you give me a few minutes, Iran is something of an enigma, because when you look at what's gone on in Iran over the years and you look at how much CIA involvement that there's been there and in Iraq and that whole area of the world, it's one of these things where you have to look at gold, oil, and drugs. You go back to 9/11 and you look at what happened there. The largest, perhaps the largest robbery of gold, gold robbery in the world took place at that time that nobody to this day really knows too much about. They found a whole 18-wheeler tractor trailer truck, I believe it was, loaded with gold bars that was about six levels deep below one of the towers. They didn't make it out in time. So there's your gold. Now, the oil, we all know what happened there. Saddam Hussein was going to get blamed for all this, and they invaded there and took control of the oil fields. And then Afghanistan was growing some of the finest poppy for heroin that you're going to find anywhere in the world, and they invaded there too. Gold, oil, and drugs, folks. That's how it all works. So when you take all this into account, Iran is a player where... think about it. Something would happen, and it's like the most incredible game of whack-a-mole you've ever seen. Iran sticks their head up, and no matter what president it is, Republican, Democrat, I don't care. It could be Jimmy Carter. It could be Ronald Reagan. It could be Bill Clinton. It could be Obama. It could be George Bush, whoever. But they'll stick their necks up, show their faces, go boo at just the right time. And if you mark it with your calendar, about 21 days later, you hear crickets and Iran is nowhere in the media. So it creates a nice distraction for people and just see, is this going to last or is this a really wonderful diversion? I don't doubt for a minute that life in Iran is very hard in some ways, but also the mullahs that are in charge there, those guys are walking a very tight, tight rope, because radio signals and TV signals, broadcasts don't understand international borders. And people there see how other people are living a lot better than them, and they want that. Most of the people in Iran are young. I think they're like under the age of 40. And they want to see how people are living in Israel and some of these other countries that are better off and have a lot more freedom. And they don't want to live under the thumb of the mullahs. They don't want to have to wear the burqas and all the other stuff. They want to be like the other people. And that's not happening. And that hold on power is a very delicate thing. That's why I've always wondered if there was a deal cut between Trump and the Iranian leadership when you had the general or whatever that went rogue and they had killed, because you saw everything happen for about 3 weeks. Oh, he wound up dead. And then there was not another word spoken. So I take a lot of what goes on there very carefully and with a grain of salt, because it's a very interesting relationship that you see going on between the U.S. and Iran. It serves as a very nice distraction. And that's a lot of what we see going on now, without getting too deep into it. But that kind of sums it up. It would take me a few minutes to discuss this, but that's basically how I see it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. So, and I cleared this already with the producer. So before I go there and ask this question, The big subject that's, you know, splashed all over and big tug of war between the Dems and the R's and who's at fault and this, that, and the other thing. What's your take on the release, in air quotes, of the Epstein files? And all, I mean, I knew it would happen, everybody and their brother seems to jump in with commentary, and I don't see any budging from. So for those on the left, they're still pushing the narrative to try and take down the right, and those on the right are still pushing the narrative to take down the left. And I'm wondering about public opinion and how much of this is just theater. Your thoughts?
A lot of it is theater, because right now you have Jeffrey, the whole Epstein files thing is a distraction. And you have another distraction with the newscaster's mom that has gone missing, kidnapped, God knows what. And that's another distraction. And if you notice, the thing with the lady that's been kidnapped has pushed Epstein, for the most part, right off the news pages, right off the broadcast. Everybody's talking about that. And Epstein is really a way to have the Democrats not talk about all the trouble that they're in and all the problems that they had, because they were taking a beating with all the funding, all the money laundering, et cetera, because they set up the U.S. government as the biggest money laundering operation the world's ever seen. And so you needed some distractions, and there's wheels within wheels, and you have plots within plots, kind of like what you see in like Dune, you know, of all things. You see the plots, you see all the scheming, and everything is all there to keep you distracted. And the longer they can keep the average person distracted, the better. The better it is for them, because you always have to ask yourself, who profits from all this?
Yeah.
Who is ultimately going to profit from all the distractions that are going on? And that's the question that each one of us has to come to.
Yeah. 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 That's very true. And so who does profit from all of that? That's a very good question. Who would profit the most?
You have politicians and probably both the D and the Rs that may have wound up on an unspeakable island of horrors. And they definitely don't want things exposed, because when you bring things into the light, the deception ends. Everybody knows. If you know how the magician's doing his trick, it's no longer a trick, because you can like nudge the guy next to you and go, you know, it's being done like this and that. And then you don't, it's no longer, you know, going to work on you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, so we'll move on from that, because I think that sums it up very well, Kevin, that it's mostly theater. And that's not to downplay the degree of wickedness and evil that occurred. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Exactly.
But I will say this, and I'm not a pessimist. But in my years of observing politicians and the politics in this country, it is a rare occurrence when those who seems pretty clear are guilty of some punishable offenses, they walk. They just, nothing sticks. There's no arrests, no trials, no prison terms, nothing. It just like eventually it just gets swept under the rug, and the media in America feeds us another narrative. Mm-hmm. It's all hyped up and so on and so forth. Your thoughts?
Well, I was talking with my wife earlier, a couple hours ago, and it's funny because it seemed like what was going on in Minnesota, they focused on that for a while, and had all the craziness going on, and it seems like we were getting to a point where certain elected officials were going to be getting, you know, put in handcuffs and taken out of their Capitol building. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh we're going to go to Arizona now. and it's like, wait a minute, we just saw all this stuff. People get killed because they're doing what they do. And now we're going to go to Arizona and start the process all over again. I want a finality to what I saw go on in Minnesota. So, as you were saying, it seems like in the first time around with President Trump, I was saying, when are we going to see perp walks? I want to see the guys in handcuffs with the trench coats over their head being walked down the Capitol steps. Never happened. Yeah. And so now I'm waiting to see, is that going to happen in the second term? Because the way I look at this, Dr. Mike, is pretty simple. I do believe that Trump is trying to do the right thing. But I also believe at the same time that Trump is one of them. Trump is a globalist. But what I learned in politics many years ago, and we created a third party after I had gotten involved with the Republican Party, I thought, oh, well, you know, all of the battles I'm going to have, you know, from here on out are going to be against Democrats. Not so fast. All the battles that I had were between different factions within the Republican Party. The only time that I was dueling against a Democrat was when I was going up for election. So it's kind of like, if you think of it as like the AFC in football and the NFC, the AFC are the Democrats, the NFC is the Republicans. And for the most part, they go through their playoffs. They're playing against each other in their own conferences. It's not until you get to the Super Bowl that they then face off against each other. And that's how I found that it worked a lot in politics. So what you're looking at, I think, is two different factions within the globalists that are now vying to achieve power. And as they say, there's some things that a polecat won't even do. I think there's some things that certain globalists won't do. And so you're looking at Trump, who's a member of, I think, a different faction within the globalists, battling another faction because there's certain things that he just, I don't think, will, he's totally bought into, which the other faction is really happy and more than willing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because that's kind of how I see it from my own experience, and that's how it's got to be, because nobody, I don't mean to cut you off, but nobody that rises to the level that Donald Trump has, number one, you got to have help, and number two, you got to have people around you that, like I said, you got to have help and people that are going to help you get to that level.
Yeah. Yeah. And for all the America First talk, you've got to look beyond the shores of America if you're going to survive in this current political climate. And that, so that's a good segue, Kevin, to my next subject I wanted to bring up is Marco Rubio has been, he received a standing ovation recently for a speech he gave. Prime ministers and political leaders in other nations are saying that was the best speech ever, talking about what needs to happen, a new path forward. Mm-hmm. And so in that speech, he was identifying the globalist mindset as being responsible for what this current administration talks about in terms of destabilization.
Yeah,
that, you know, offshoring our manufacturing, but you know the lines. Where does that fit into all of this, in your opinion, Kevin?
I think it goes back to the same thing with Davos. He was I think he was echoing the same type of sentiment that Donald Trump was saying, but he's doing it in a kinder, gentler way that they're all going to understand. And he's not just coming in with a sledgehammer. He's coming in with a feather and explaining to them, hey, we get it. This is how things are going to be, but we understand where you're coming from. And he's being a bit more, say, diplomatic about it. And coming in like, hey, we understand what the European interest is. We understand. Don't get me wrong. It's not that we don't understand the European interest is, but do you understand what ours is? And that's where like I said, daddy came home and found the house a wreck.
Yeah.
And now things have to be answered for. And we're in the process of straightening that out. I know you had a J.D. Vance recently using a lot of the three-letter word New World Order. And like I said, we're talking about a new world order in the sense that they want to have things run differently than the globalists have been running, and they're kicking and screaming. They don't want to do that because it's all about power. Power is the aphrodisiac. That is what they all crave and want. They want the power. And if they feel like that power is being stripped away from them, you're seeing what's happening. You're seeing, I think, exactly that, because Trump is coming in and saying, we're going to knock down this sandcastle because, you know what, we built this sandcastle. We're going to start using that one.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to a friend this morning on another program. He lives in the UK. And so we were talking about some of the things that have been happening in the UK. And the short version is this. The politicians in the UK have pretty much just run roughshod over the people who have voiced their opinions about what's been happening there, that they are completely opposed. And the politicians said, we're going to do it anyway. And they are. And that is, well, it's shocking to me to watch a nation fall that quickly at the hands of politicians elected and then telling them to go pound sand.
The
citizens. It's shocking to me, Kevin.
One advantage that we have here in the United States, and I lived overseas through almost all of 1990. I was away at Bible college. But what I noticed is that here we have something written down, and there's parameters called the Constitution. Not necessarily that they really follow it all that closely a lot of times, but at least it's written down, and people can go, ah, wait a minute, it says this there. You can't do that. But England and the UK isn't like that. They don't really have anything codified. They don't really have anything set down, you know, hard in ink on paper, where it says we can go back to the Magna Carta, but it's not like where the Constitution has laid very clear limits on what governments can do, and that's what's missing there. So they can say one day, we take it back. Where it would be much harder to do here in this country because of a little thing called the Constitution.
Yeah, and that's evident throughout. Really, the European Union electing this continental parliament and putting somebody in charge that has the, at least on paper, the power and the authority to make other nations get in line and follow their edicts. I see some pushback against that.
Yeah,
obviously Brexit, which they're still trying to wiggle out of that, but places like Hungary and Poland, they're just not following blindly along. And I see that as a good thing. I'm sure the globalists in the EU see it as a very terrible thing and a threat to their control.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree.
Yeah. And that's really what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's all about control. Who controls everything. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It's crazy because I did a lot of work for a while. I was vice chairman of a political party in my town. So we're talking about very local politics. And the thing that I learned is that the biggest battles always happened over the smallest little things. To this day, it's just like, why is that? You have a really big issue and everybody will go work together and they'll be like, yeah, let's, you know, whatever. But man, you get some little issue that would come and it would divide everybody. End to end, just divide everybody in the town. And I see it true at the state and national and international levels. It's really fascinating how you can get a really big issue and everybody can get behind it. But man, you start breaking that down to a more local level and you start riling feathers up because there's little fiefdoms and things that you don't want to disturb. And they've carved out a little niche for themselves. And
they've got a very comfortable life and they don't want to disrupt it.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of that, Kevin, in your neck of the woods, the Atlantic region, the New York City. Let's just talk about New York City, brother.
Oh boy,
ma'am, Danny is
Mandela.
Well, he's doing everything he said he was going to do, right?
Yeah, Yeah, at least he's honest.
Yeah.
That anyway.
And people are losing their minds thinking, how can you do this? And it's like, well, yeah, he told you he was going to do these things.
Yeah. And like a typical communist, they'll promise everything and do nothing.
Yes.
So, you know, they never learn. It's kind of like, remember the old Peanuts comic strip? And you have Lucy and she's got the football. And she wants Charlie Brown to go kick the football. And Charlie's like, no, the last 47 times I did that, you pulled the football out. I went, right into the mud. I don't want to do that. And she then says all these promises and everything about how she's not going to do it. And what happens? He goes back 40 clicks, takes off. She pulls the football out. And he's laying in the mud. And people keep falling for the same lies, the same tricks over and over and over again. And it's time to hold the little Lucy's accountable.
Yeah, for sure. I just shake my head. Each new article that I read about what Ma'am Danny is doing, and people are upset, and it's like, well,
yeah,
where you weren't listening, or you didn't think that he was going to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
He meant every word he said.
He meant every word.
And
I call him on dummy. So, I mean, you have to be really dumb to believe anything in the tenets of communism.
Yes.
It's not something that's going to help you. It's a way to really concentrate a lot of wealth into a few people's hands.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Speaking of communism, AOC was overseas last week and giving her typical word salad speeches and trying to make sense out of anything that she says. Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I have a nickname. I have a nickname for her. AOC stands for Another Obnoxious Communist.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate, actually.
AOC. So you can spread that one around. Another obnoxious communist. And Biden, while I'm at it, Biden was an acronym, not a name. Bumbling idiot Democrats enthusiastically nominated Biden.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I read even the New York Times came out against AOC.
Yeah.
That one surprised me as well. Taking her to task for. Well, being an idiot, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't fix stupid. That's the problem. You can't fix it. There's nothing you can do with it.
So why do you think, speaking of communism, Kevin, why do you think that it has gained such a grip on Americans, especially 40 and under, beyond just the indoctrination they've received in the public education system, which is basically communism?
Let me give you the answer you're not expecting, and that is not enough people have tried and failed with it yet, because there's going to be somewhere, some country, some city, some pointy-headed college professor that is teaching his students about how glorious and wonderful communism is. Because, folks, communism looks awesome on paper. Awesome. It looks so good. It's like, I can't wait to live that way. But in reality, you try to live under it, it sucks. It's horrible. And the problem is when you find out all the time that there's some pointy-headed college professor that will tell you, you know, it failed because not the right people were running it. It has nothing to do with the people that are running it. The system is flawed, and it doesn't work. And it brings out everything that's the worst in human nature. You know, and never mind the communists came up with the term capitalism to furnish the free markets. But, you know, let's just deal with reality. You know, there is nobody good enough that's going to be able to run communism and make it work. There is no right people. And when the sooner we can figure that out as a civilization, as a race, the better off we're all going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the United States of America, for all its faults, all its warts, all of the things that we have failed to live up to in our founding documents, capitalism is a primary reason why we've attained this level of affluency, military power, being able to distribute billions and billions of dollars to, and I don't understand why we continue to do it, but to other nations. Now, I mean, we could talk about that too, Kevin. It's easy to give away money when you're just running your printing press 24/7, 365, and it really isn't tied to anything. It means nothing. And the only reason that this economics place that we're in right now is still viable is because people still trust the system. If people ever start to distrust, it's going to collapse.
And collapse. And it's interesting because the vast majority, I think upwards of 90% or more of the money, I put that in little quotes, the money that we have in circulation is not printed. It all exists as digital credits floating around on a computer somewhere.
Good point.
And that is, I had heard I'm not remembering all the details right, but I don't remember the amount, but it was in the trillions. And I remember somebody explaining this, and that is, and forgive me, I'm not remembering the amount of money, but it's still impressive. And that is, you could take $100 bills and stack them to understand the amount of deficit that we're running as a country. Stack them, go out past the planet Jupiter, come back around to Earth, and then you'd have enough $100 bills to stack 14 stacks to the Earth to the moon. So getting rid of the debt, no matter what the amount is, because it's so astronomical that we can't wrap our minds around it anyway, isn't the point. We're not going to get rid of the debt. You'd have to let the system entirely crash and start new.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the problem with that is it would be too horrific, and we don't want to live like we see in some of these, you know, dystopian movies.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't want that world. So we have to figure out how to make things as good as we can without going to that extreme, because in that extreme, a lot of people die, and that plays into the globalist hands.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I read just the other day, maybe 3-4 days ago, someone made a statement that, and if I remember correctly, it was something approaching $22 trillion that has been misplaced. Nobody knows where it's at.
It's a few trillion between friends, right?
$22 trillion misplaced. And nobody's in jail.
No, nobody.
Yeah, that's...
Nobody's in jail.
That's another one of those.
That's because once they get high enough up in that globalist totem pole, they don't follow the same rules that the little people like you and me have to follow. They have different rules. And, you know, stuff like trillions of dollars, that doesn't mean anything to them. Yeah. It really doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't.
So we've got a little over two more years of the current administration.
I hope.
Yes.
I hope so.
Yeah. It looks like a couple of people are starting to stand a little bit above others in projections for this next administration. I know Vance's name has been put out there. Santos's name has been put out there. Now Rubio has emerged as, some people are saying, a viable candidate. I'm hoping that there can be two of those three that can work together. I think they would provide a pretty formidable team to what the Democrats might offer, which, believe it or not, I heard recently that Harris and AOC were being talked of. You see that?
I don't even know how to comment on that. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah, it's just, oh boy, I don't know where to start. But yeah, let me just say this, is that 2 years in politics is an eternity. It's a long time. And especially the way things are going right now, where at the beginning of this show, I said, look, if you wait 15 minutes and hit a refresh, you're going to be shocked because everything's going to be different. And that's the way things have been going. I couldn't tell you who I think might be a nominee on the Republican side or even on the Democratic side. I have no idea. There are some very good candidates, and I see people who I would really, I mean, Howard Lutnick is another one who I really, really like. But who knows? I mean, who knows? I think J.D. Vance is being groomed for the position, and it's a question of who's going to be the vice presidential candidate with him. And that's where it stands right now in early 2026. By the time we get to 2028, I have no idea. I mean, it just, we have no idea.
Yeah. Well, and it makes you wonder how much, I call them the kingmakers, how much the people behind the scenes are pushing or pulling or promoting a candidate. It could be somebody that would just come out of the woodwork. I mean, these folks behind the scene, I know they've got power and they've got influence, and it could determine who represents both parties.
Absolutely. I mean, Barack Obama, nobody saw coming, but he was a Brzezinski boy. He was put in power the same way Jimmy Carter was. Same puppet master running both candidates, trilateral commission. And then, dare I say, I don't think too many people saw Donald Trump coming. Yeah. I know I didn't. And I'll be honest here. I didn't think he was going to get elected the first time. I didn't even think he was going to get the nomination, because the one thing that I would, if I had Trump's ear for 5 minutes, I know exactly what I would tell him. And that is, Mr. President, you have to do something about the fraudulent voting machines. Now, I love computers. I'm a big computer hobbyist, but they should not be used to count votes, because what people don't understand is that you take a sheet of paper, okay, you take a sheet of paper that has your vote on it, that's a vote, but then they run it through the little magical mystery machine and it turns it into a bunch of ones and zeros. Now, I ask you, can I go into that ocean of ones and zeros? Can you please show me where my vote is located? Because I know where it is when I hold up a sheet of paper. And then once it's a one and a zero, anything can be done with that. I mean, on your computer only understands ones and zeros, open and closed. That's it. And with that, we're recording this show right now using what? Ones and zeros. It's creating a data stream. But on the one hand, it can be a show. On another hand, it can be a MP3 file. It can be a picture. It can be a video. It can be a graph. It can be any. It can be anything that you need that to be. The manipulation that can go on with these machines is unreal. And if Trump doesn't do something about it, and just think for a moment with me, here's something that would be horrific for this country. I do believe that, is that people come in, manipulate that vote, put all Democrats in charge in the House and the Senate, and they've already come out and made some statements to Democrats that they will impeach everybody. They said everybody. And you have mass impeachments going on of justices in the Supreme Court that they didn't like how they ruled. Congressmen, the vice president, cabinet members, Kristi Noem, for example, President Trump, because you know what? They'll impeach Trump because he's breathing. Mm-hmm. And then after they get him out of office, then they'll try to throw his butt in jail for the next 40 years.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no mercy. And I learned this a long time ago. I was a kid. I was a weird kid, because I'd watch like PBS. I'd watch all these types of shows that kids wouldn't watch. And it was right after Watergate. And I think it was David Frost. It was G. Gordon Liddy. And he was, I'm here in Connecticut, and I'm not too far from the Danbury prison where a lot of these guys served. And he's like, well, you know, what happened? You went to jail and this and that. And he's saying, you know, I looked around the jailhouse when I got there, and I found the biggest, baddest, meanest-looking guy that was in there. I picked up one of the metal chairs, and I tried to kill him with it. I bashed him over the head. They grabbed me. They put me in solitary. And then when I came out of solitary, everybody knew not to mess with me. Because what people have to understand, and I understood it then, is that you take no prisoners in politics. You leave nothing but dead bodies. And I'm not saying that literally. I'm saying politically, you take them out politically. And you make it so they cannot come back and bite you. It's like handling a poisonous snake, a venomous snake. You don't handle it gingerly. You have that critter around the back of its head, and you control the body, so it can't whip around and bite you. Because if that thing can bite you, if it can kill you, it will. So you handle it with great care. And politicians need to be handled the same way. You need to do something about those voting machines, or else that's going to be like the venomous snake that turns around and bites you when you thought you had it under control. And the problem is he's going to pay for it, his family will pay for it, but worse, the people of this country and the country will pay for it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kevin. And so there seems to be a little bit of light or movement in the right direction on that. There's been reports from both Arizona and Georgia where it's undeniable what went on there, that they actually threw those states and electoral votes to Harris. There's no question there, and that goes all the way back to Biden. This was pure wickedness, and now they've got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. But I ask the question again, Kevin, are we going to see any arrests?
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at.
Politics is like an iceberg. You only see about that much of the iceberg. The rest of it's below. Everything that's happening politically is not happening in that part of the iceberg you can see. The deeper under the water you go, the more is actually happening. The more it's in the dark, the more it's in secret, the more is actually taking place. And so the little bit that we do see, you have to sit there and you have to do some conjecture, and you have to take the known available facts that you have and try to figure out what is going on here, because some of it doesn't make any sense because we don't have all the information. We don't know what is actually going on.
Yeah. Well, we've got just a few minutes left, Kevin, in our conversation. And I wonder if you'd give a rundown again of your three major platforms, what each of them provide, and where folks can contact you at.
Hey, if you're looking for a great place where you can hear great talk radio with a Christian perspective, where I don't censor any of my hosts. The only thing I don't allow is them dropping F-bombs and stuff like that. So if you want to hear really great hosts talking about politics and everything else under the sun with a Christian perspective, Truth Be Told Radio Network, truthbetoldnetwork.org. We have a multitude of apps there you can go and download for your Android phone, iPhone, Alexa Fire Stick, Alexa Speaker. Just go and look. There's about 30 or 40 platforms that we appear on. The other platform is Whitestone Streaming Network. And hey, if you're a Christian musician, you do the praise music and everything in your church, you're writing your own music, you don't really have anywhere that you can go to get that music out to the world. You can go to places where they're bringing in a lot of music, but the problem is that you're getting lost in an ocean of everything else. And a vast majority of the people may not be looking for what you're doing. So that's why Whitestone Streaming Network was born. And that gives you the platform to go out worldwide. And we broadcast that, Dr. Mike, in 320 KPS. That's really good quality audio. So you just go to the website, go down to the bottom of the site. Down there you can download the release. So as long as you're writing your own music, you own it, then you can send it to me and I can put it on the air. You just release to me saying I have the right to broadcast it. Fantastic. The last one is lastdaysword.com. There it is on the screen, Last Days Word. And what that is the Bible being spoken, 24 hours a day, being read out loud. And we start at Genesis, go to Revelation, it goes back to Genesis, does it all over. It takes about 3 days. So you can pick that up. A lot of people, Dr. Mike, I hear, are tuning that in at night and when they go to bed. So they have that playing softly while they're sleeping. You're hearing the Word of God being read to you. And a lot of people have said that it's really great because they can bring up their phone. They can be traveling somewhere, listen to the Word of God, wherever it happens to be. But the other thing is, if you've got a good speaking voice and you like to read out loud, you can go and take a book of the Bible, and we have the structure there, how we want it. And you can read an entire book of the Bible, send it to us in MP3, and we'll include it if there's no, like, a lot of outside noises, distractions, etc. It's quiet. We don't really like to have backing music, but if it's not going to be distracting to what's read, no problem. We'll be the judge of that. But that's how you can do that. There's the Android app. There is the Apple Alexa Fire Stick app. And the Fire Stick app, folks, runs on any Fire type of product. The Fire Stick, Fire Cube, Fire tablet. You can also... Android TV, we just went on this week, and then we got another thing right now, just Truth Be Told Radio Network. You can go to the Mode Earn app, download that, put in TBTRN, and that app pays you to listen to the network. So pretty cool.
Very cool. Thank you very much. And there you can contact Kevin on any one of those platforms, the contact button, drop him a note, let him know.
I am looking for hosts. I do have a couple of slots open. Ah. So if you're looking to do a radio show or expand your show, reach out to me.
Oh, there you go. Good opportunity. Well, brother, I really appreciate you joining us. It was a wonderful conversation. And as always, it went way too fast.
Yeah, it sure did. It was great to be on. I'd love to come back again, and I'll get you on my show again real soon.
All right. Well, folks, that's all we've got for you today. Thank you for joining us again on WCN-TV. Please share this on your platforms and with your friends. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Thank you.